Hello, dumplings. Welcome to Let's Get Ugly, the podcast where we dive deep into the latest beauty, wellness, and lifestyle secrets that aren't always pretty, but always real.
We're your co-hosts, Trishna and Disha.
The sister duo keeping it 100% authentic, really silly, and sassy all at the same time.
We're really silly, but come join us, grab your favorite drink, and let's get ugly.
So, Josephine Delaboom, welcome to Let's Get Ugly. You're a woman of many talents, actress, musician, style icon, beauty muse.
Well, thanks.
We're so excited to have you here today. Well,
thank you for having me. It's a really fun podcast. I'm excited to be here.
We were just going to say, like, you are so authentic.
Am I?
Yeah.
Just the French accent that gives you this impression. It's kind of like, it sounds like I'm really straightforward.
No, but it's really great. Like, we were thinking about it and we were like, it's a very unique blend to have like your level of like artistic creativity, but also the authenticity. Maybe it's being French. Maybe.
Thank you.
But we wanted to actually know, like, emotionally, creatively, and physically, what does this chapter feel like for you?
This chapter of my life?
Yeah.
Well, a lot has happened because, obviously, I became a mother not that long ago. So it definitely feels like a new chapter in my life, even though I somehow feel, you know, that people are like, how is motherhood? And I sort of can't, you know, I definitely feel like a mother, but I feel mostly like, it's not that it's changed my identity. Actually, I feel completely like I'm still exactly the same person, but I've just made this incredibly cool little human being that needs me to survive. But it's not so much that I suddenly feel like, oh, I'm, you know, this new version of myself. It's more that I have this incredible addition to my life, you know? But it does feel like a new chapter because obviously it's so filled with this new crazy soundtrack of laughing, giggling, crying in the background, and my day. I'm so much more tired, but at the same time, it also gives you loads of energy. But I do feel like it's also somehow, you know, even though obviously this is, you know, it's very time consuming, and at the same time, I somehow have never worked so much recently. I've worked so much. And you sort of develop this superpower where your kid comes with you on set or your kid goes on tour. Or like, you know what I mean? So you kind of want to become the best version of yourself in the sense of like, you're like, I need to sort of like be on a level for you, for this little person. So I feel like it's, it hasn't refrained me from doing things. You know, I don't feel like, oh my God, I don't have a life anymore. I sort of feel like, okay, I need to be like a superhuman for this person.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And it sounds like such an exciting time for you as well. I mean, what has really changed about how you create things and how you see yourself and how you dress in this new chapter? Has that shifted for you?
I feel like, I mean, if we're talking about like the new chapter being a mother or the new chapter being in my 40s, I don't know which one it is, but being a mother for 2 years, I was definitely still, you know, I put on quite a bit of weight. And so I guess that changed. But at the same time, I feel like you're sort of high on this new ongoing excitement and sort of surreal thing. That your brain can't completely compute that you've made a human with eyes and nails and teeth and you know what I mean? I don't think we can ever really understand it. Sometimes I see her eyes open and I'm like, oh my God, maybe this, how did I make this, you know? How did we make this? So I do feel like even though, you know, it's a difficult time after having a child, you kind of like, you have to reconnect with your body. You have to, you don't always feel like a $1 million, you know, but you're also a bit delusional in the sense that I felt like this, as I said, you're so high on so many other new information that I think I had like sort of, I didn't really think about that so much. I didn't really see it as a problem. You know, you're sort of beyond that in a way. And I felt I felt very woman, you know? So I didn't feel like I needed to, like, hide myself. Or I didn't make a huge fuss about it. I mean, we did a fun photo shoot or whatever, but I didn't need to like post it all the time or whatever. But I also don't think that I needed to. I just felt very much like very human and very womanly. I don't need to have a kid to feel like that, but I do feel like it sort of excels that rather than like lowered it, you know, or made me feel more insecure, blah, blah, blah. Even though with your hormones and so you feel you're pretty, you know, you have so many, you over question things or you get very emotional and blah, blah, blah. But otherwise, just getting older in general, outside of just being a mother, because I don't think that, you know, that doesn't apply to everyone and blah, blah, it doesn't have to. I think that, I think I'm not very good at also sort of, I always, of thinking of myself, outside of myself, in the present. I sort of see pictures of myself when I'm like 25 and I felt like quite tomboyish inside. I always have felt quite tomboyish inside for some reason, even though I see pictures and I was so feminine, you know? But I feel like I can't really understand. It's hard to understand what you sort of represent, and by representing, I mean like when you meet someone, what they perceive of you. So I don't really know what this, I can tell you in 10 years maybe what this era looked like and felt like. At the moment, I feel like, but I feel like with age, obviously, you gain sort of calm, no? You're not so attached to what people might think of you and how they look at you. Just sort of care less and less. And if you want to wear something outrageous, you're like, sure, why not? What do I care? Or the opposite, if you really don't want to make an effort. I think I maybe overthink things a bit less in that sense.
Yeah, which is really great.
I was just going to ask, is there anything that you've left behind? Like, is chaos what you've left behind in this era of calm?
I really wish I could say yes. I'm like, no, I wouldn't say my life is that calm. I would say that maybe there's, you become more selfless maybe. And also, but it doesn't mean you become less neurotic or that your life is absolutely much more calm. But I do feel like maybe, there's maybe a bit less insecurity, and as I said, there's less, you know, the what people are going to think of you maybe matters a bit less. And I think that kind of, and I see when you see interviews of, Joni Mitchell or whatever, like, you know, women who have like aged, continuing what they like to do, they just, the wisdom they gain is often that little by little, they just care less and less and they just keep doing what they want to do is completely unapologetically, you know? So I would say that maybe I don't feel like I have to sort of fit into something. That's it. But it doesn't mean that my life, drama in my life.
The drama's still there.
I feel like that's just like a trademark for the rest of my life, maybe.
So basically everyone stays in high school throughout their lives.
Basically my telenovela that I live with is never going to end. But maybe that's just because I do like life being like the most dramatic movie and acting in it in some ways. You know, I think we are all the actors of our own movie. Mine is quite eventful. Sometimes I wish it was a bit more calm, but in a good way, you know.
Speaking of that, I mean, with your new chapter being a mother, because mm-hmm. you've had longer for that mm-hmm. than turning 40. Mm-hmm. If it had a title like a film, album, or fragrance, what do you think it would be?
Of becoming a mother?
Yeah.
Got to be a telenovela, though.
I think it should be a telenovela, actually. You got to call it something.
I don't know, because the only thing I can think of, which is actually, I used to watch this movie as a kid. It's completely not what this is like, but for some reason, but I just recommend this movie. There's a movie called L'Innocent, which I think is The Innocent, which was a beautiful Italian movie, which was a movie actually about two Italian children who grew up with their father, and their mother has just passed away, and you sort of hear the voice of the mother that they have on a recording. It's extremely depressing what I'm telling you.
Oh yeah.
On the recording, But I think that as a child, I used to watch this movie and cry all the time. And then I would like watch, show it to my friend and watch them cry, which is completely psycho. And like wait for them to be like, it's so sad, isn't it? You know, and then, but I sort of understood the importance of a mother, I think, in this movie without really understanding. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, however much your father can take over. I mean, I'm talking about that, but then some people have two mothers or two fathers or whatever. But the importance of two parents, you know, sort of balance, you know. And in this specific case, because there's a parent that might be more nurturing and the other one more, you know, psychologically attentive. Like this, just, you know, often parents sort of complete each other because one might take the lead on something, the other one. And it's a very good movie for that, you know, where it sort of gives you the idea of what one parent missing, what might take out of the equation and their lack of. So I don't know why it made me think of that movie, but I guess becoming a mother comes with an idea of responsibility and whatever you're going to, you know, give to this child. It's sort of like might completely shape their life. So there's an importance, any word you use, any action, if you laugh with them, they'll start laughing. So, and I don't know why I thought of this movie, but I think this movie explains that space where she's missing and the softness there's in the voice that they keep hearing, you know, it brings back that warmth. That, so yeah, I don't know that. So it doesn't show my life, but I just couldn't think of anything. That just thought it's a beautiful movie. You should watch it.
So we can cry.
So you can cry. And please send me a video because apparently I used to love watching people crack. Like, it's just deal. Totally psycho.
We'll be like, we just finished the movie.
How are you feeling?
Terrible.
So if I think of anything else a bit more uplifting, I'll circle back. But for now, this is the first thing that came in my mind.
I think it's a beautiful meaning behind it as well. So, you know, there are two ways to see it.
Yeah.
Got to see the positive with it. But just to kind of circle back to beauty.
Something a bit lighter.
Something a bit lighter. I mean, your aesthetic is iconic. You've had it for
a long time.
I mean, how did this come to be? Like, how did you come up with your beauty aesthetic, with your makeup being the way that it is and your hair being the way it is? Is it you in your truest form? Is it something you became comfortable with?
Feel like I had so my hair is sort of naturally strawberry blonde and I dyed a bit more ginger, a bit more red, and I mean it sort of changes depending on, you know, the time of the year and blah blah. But it was sort of a coincidence. I never really thought of anything. I did a movie with Romain Gavras, which was about where everybody in the movie was about discrimination of redheads, which was a symbolic for a wider comment, basically. And so I dyed my hair for a photo shoot after it, and I liked it, and so I kept it. But I feel like there's always a story behind, rather than I never really thought of like, ooh, and you know, this is what I want to like look like. And then the eyeliner and stuff, I have no idea. I feel like I always liked makeup as a teenager, like a lot of teenagers. I always liked lip liner. So I literally been using lip liner since I'm like 13 or something. And then eyeliner, I feel like my eyes are quite small. And so it sort of opened it a little bit. And I guess maybe I must have seen it in like 60s French movies. It's often inspired from movies and so on. And then I kept it and I really didn't update it since forever. And when something works, I'm kind of like, Sometimes I had a little bit of freckles. It's like, and I used to hate glossy looks and stuff like that. And now I add a bit of shine here and there. Sometimes when if I work with a makeup artist on the shoot, I'd be like, oh, that's fun. But it's true that I sort of found something that works and stick to it.
Has it been like that forever? Like as far as you can remember, like this is your signature look?
Kind of. I used to wear more red lipstick. I used to also have like red lipstick was also like one of, I do it less, but yeah, I feel like I've always just wore the eyeliner, the lip liner and my hair kind of red like that. Yeah.
I love that.
I mean, I've changed recently. I had a different hair color. I did two movies where I had to dye my hair dark, so I had, you know, a different, and sort of nothing fits, you know, you start looking very gothy. Was any word time you were black, or for me because I'm very pale skin, and suddenly like it's sort of, I had to sort of update a bit, you know. And it's sometimes I was like, I'm down to look a bit more, you know, darker today. But then I didn't feel like looking emo every day either. So I was like, what, you know. So I don't know. I had to. So, yeah, I guess it was fun to change because it was for jobs. But otherwise, sort of go back to that's not really.
I love that. I mean, do you feel like you've defined certain things about yourself as you've gotten older with beauty? Like, are there certain signatures, like you mentioned, like embracing gloss, for example, like you love the idea of gloss every, you know, once in a while. But are there some things that you feel are like really signature to you that have evolved with you, or something new that you've introduced into your routine?
I feel like I never really put that much stuff on my skin. I'm like, I use creams and I used to be terrible. And to be honest, I never, for example, very rarely put like body lotion and stuff. I just don't have the patience, and even facials and stuff like that. I'm quite impatient. So like, I don't get that many facials when really I should, because as you get older, they're really good. Every time I get one, I'm like, that's why I really get them. But then I get lazy or I can't be bothered. But I have good creams, you know. So I guess that changed as I got older. I suddenly realized that if you use good products, that's gonna. So I've been using a lot of Augustinus Bader, you know, the rich cream, and Emma Lewisman, there's a few brands that I really like. But then not putting that much on your face is sort of better also, because if you put loads of powder, it sort of enhances any sort of. It makes your skin much more dry and hence any wrinkles, which is fine, but natural skin is quite of, you know, I kind of like it. And I guess I've started using a bit of shine here and there, because I think, you know, I found it fun recently to kind of do something new, but otherwise I kind of stick to the same thing always.
Your skin looks amazing.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, I was like, there's nothing on it.
Just
what?
Come back from Mexico, there's nothing on it. I do feel a little bit of shine here and there, and that's it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Thank you.
Stunning.
Absolutely.
Mexico. I was in Mexico for a month.
So that's the secret. Mexico.
Go in the sun. Yeah. Really good idea. Yeah, just make sure you go in the sun for as long as possible, and that's going to be fantastic.
No SPF either.
No cream. Yeah. I definitely have to put cream, that's for sure.
So funny. I mean, I feel like French girl beauty, and the more that I see it on social media, the more I started to notice, like, a lot of people are embodying your look, actually. Yeah. I mean, I know we said earlier that you don't spend much time on TikTok.
I should probably, I'd be flattered. I'd probably find out stuff and be like, oh.
Yeah, but like I started to notice, because I was like, obviously researching, looking into your makeup, looking at like your look, and I was like, this is what we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
And it's incredible to see it.
I guess I like a 90s lip. I like going over with the lip liner and stuff. And at the moment, 90s makeup even is really kind of back. So I do like, and I like the eyebrows being a bit shaped, you know, a bit I don't know how you say it, quite thin and quite, I don't plug my eyebrows, but I don't do big eyebrows, basically.
Yeah. So like quite angular, natural and angled.
Yeah, angled. Is the word I was looking for. Thank you.
Right.
No worries. But getting back to social media.
Yes, I know. You were shocked.
We were shocked. But go on. Tell us. Why? Oh, what made you? Did you ever try to go on TikTok, or was it just
Did I have an account, but I don't know. I got an account out of curiosity, just because I guess I wanted to understand, you know, and I wanted to spy a little bit too. Kind of look at what was going on, but I very quickly got a bit overwhelmed, and I didn't really get it at first. I was just like, I don't really understand the lingo on it, you know. I just, there was so much silliness and so much sort of like the dance routine, the blah blah. I just couldn't be bothered, and also my algorithm was really getting me wrong in the beginning. But TikTok's algorithm is genius, so eventually when they figure you out, they get you hooked like there's no tomorrow. So I hear, and I've never gone, they've never, It's never gone to that stage because I've gone so little on it. So I only had like sort of weird French, only French, very random content. And so, you know, I like the Charlie XX little dance routine. I did that. You know, yeah, like my friend's teenage kid like showed it to me. I was like, this is so fun. Like, sure, you know, there's a couple things and trends in that, and I hear of certain things, you know, even like a makeup artist telling me that there's this trend about the freckles, the way you do it with, which I thought was pretty cool, actually, where you put like a few dots with your eyeliner and kind of do it at the same time, you know, to save time. I'm sure there's some good things with beauty, especially, but I also think like I just don't have time. Yeah. This is too much. There's Instagram. I don't know where to squeeze it. But I also think it's a generation thing. You know, I see if you're 20 years old, you're not really on Instagram that much. You're much more on TikTok. You know, if you're in your mid 20s, late 20s, you're sort of on both. And then if you're in your sort of mid-30s, 40s, you're a bit more on Instagram than on TikTok, I think.
Yeah, I would say that.
There's also that a bit.
Yeah,
you know?
There is
I'm not on Snapchat, you know what I mean? Where like in your early 20s, you're on Snapchat. Like,
absolutely.
So I think I think there's a bit of that too.
I just couldn't believe it.
I know, but like cut to in 2 years, suddenly I'm like all over TikTok. And I was like, imagine, I hope not. But I'm scared because I'm like, what if suddenly I get hooked up to like kind of promote something and I'm like, ah. But I'm trying to step away from social media at the moment rather than like dive into it further. So I just got to stay strong.
It's really healthy though. Like it is a healthy approach from someone that spends personally way too much time on social media. Like I have stopped really watching that much TV and I watch a lot of TV.
Yeah.
But that TV time is being swapped out for TikTok time in my world,
yeah,
which is scary, and I end up in like a wormhole sometimes, and I'm only seeing like mono content.
Yeah,
and so I'll see like one thing again and again, and it won't be very good, you know.
But I guess
like,
because of your job, it sort of makes sense as well, you know.
Yeah,
like, especially for this podcast. I mean, I know you do a bunch of stuff, but for this podcast, it's sort of like a lot of you have to know what's happening culturally, you know. And TikTok is very much releases, but I also think I'm okay not knowing what's going on TikTok, you know. I feel like I'm preserved from something that is not really going to change my life. But, and I still hear bits of it. You know?
Yeah.
It's like I wasn't.
Still like people.
I still knew the Charlie XX routine like perfectly, you know.
You knew it. You had it nailed.
I had it nailed. I actually really knew it quite
well. We got to air it while we're talking about this bit. Yeah. Have it in the background.
Just being
I'll help
doing
you
the
find
dance.
It. Yeah. I've got two videos.
Oh, great.
Voluntarily handing it
but
over.
But I've posted
to us.
Like two or three times on TikTok, but it was just like, you know, silly and not really.
Yeah.
I'm not really.
But I think that's what I like about it. Like, it can be quite silly. It can be serious, but it can also be quite silly, which is
But it's time
great.
Consuming. It's time
very.
Consuming.
Very.
Yeah.
Very.
And I feel like I've become so, everybody's becoming so ADHD. My focus so hard, and I'm really trying. I feel like I've been reading so much more recently. Just trying to, and I feel trapped. I feel trapped with Instagram. I feel like, you know, a prisoner of my phone more and more, that I'm getting very close to just trying to find a more drastic solution, you know. I was looking at something ironically on Instagram this morning of like people going to cafes in Paris where they lock their phone for 2 hours and the first hour they can read online and the second hour they can interact with people. I was like, oh my God, this is we're so, you know, that you're so powerless that you have to like check yourself into a cafe where you can check your phone out, you know. It's insane.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But it's true because you have to have willpower, and like most of us don't.
Yeah.
That's true. I don't.
Yeah.
You'd have to like voluntarily do it as well, obviously.
Yeah. And we've been, I went on a holiday where there was no, I was doing promo for a film too, and there was no Wi-Fi, no internet. There was
nowhere.
And I was like, what do you mean? No internet? I go, how am I going to do this crazy? Like, and I actually ended up writing an entire record. I read 3 books in one. You know, I was just like, I was like, oh my God, it takes me a year to do what I've done, you know, in 10 days here.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I know, we gotta stop.
Yeah, we gotta, clearly.
We gotta slow down on it.
Slow down, find the willpower, yeah. I mean, I'm saying that, I'm still on it, but I'm trying. And I'm not fully on TikTok yet. I did the let's see what happens.
Yeah. Don't speak too soon.
Yeah, I'm scared.
She's going to go home tonight. She's going to be like, TikTok.
Exactly.
What's going on? But I mean,
I don't trust myself enough to just go on about this for much longer.
It's too funny. I mean, your outfits are flawless. And
oh, thank you.
You know, you always look amazing. I feel like you were saying earlier about like having emotions connected to certain pieces. And I feel like it almost looks like it's little stories that you're creating. So right now, what is an item that you have that has a real emotional power within it for you?
I feel like at the moment it's a lot of my jewelry, obviously, because jewelry has so much meaning behind it. But otherwise, well, it depends. There's a few things. There's I wear a lot of Charlotte Knowles pants. There's no real story attached to it, but I think like I really like what she does. And then, for example, this top is from a little shop next to my house. So when I wear it, I sort of, when I'm not in London, I kind of think of that little shop that's run by these really cute girls. And you know, I've kept a lot of clothes from Alexa Chong, who's a dear friend of mine, who had this amazing brand, you know. And luckily, I have a lot of her stuff. So every time I wear it, I kind of think about her. And so I guess I'm talking about people and places now. And I guess with Charlotte Knowles, I don't know her, but I feel like each piece, again, it's very much like a whole world that she's created. But I also very much feel like it's something she's really kind of drawn and made. And not that, not every designer does that, but there's something very much like very intimate with her clothes that are very much her, you know. Again, sort of transcends any idea of like only trend or it's she, even though it's very much of today, her thing. But it's quite volcanic, like all her stuff. So much prints that she, you know, the way she researches thing, I imagine, is probably through, I'm not sure, you know, like movies and scrapbooks and. I guess every designer does that, but there's something, there's so many drawings and so much going on, so many prints on her fabrics that they're quite, this, you know, they sort of make you travel a bit.
Like, how do you start though? Like, where do you start? So clothes are emotional for you. You think of people, you think of places, but when you're dressing yourself and you're putting together a look, like, where do you start? Is it your shoes? Is it the lipstick? Is it...
No, I always start, well, often it's the shoes because I wear a lot of boots and it sort of depends when if I'm going to wear something flat or something high heel because a lot of I'm so tiny. So a lot of my pants are, you know, there's like pants for like short and then there's pants that are very long for the very high heels that I wear. So I sort of have to decide which shoe I'm going with, you know. If I'm going to want to walk or stay completely still for the entire day. So I start there. But then I'm a little bit, I guess, mono-obsessive. So if I like something, and I'm kind of like that with everything. So I guess I'm a bit OCD or something. Sorry, I would probably call that, really. But if I like something, I will wear it out. Till, you know, I sort of will go between like these five outfits that I'm obsessed with and I'm like, I can't see them for like a few years. But it's the same with food. I get obsessed with one place and I have to eat it like every week. And I get obsessed with one song and I have to listen to it all the time. You know, I guess I do that. But then recently I had to do a big clear out because my boyfriend was like having an absolute mental breakdown with my clothes like appearing like ghosts everywhere. And so I feel like I have a whole new wardrobe. And at the moment, I'm really sentimental because I'm like pulling out stuff from 20 years ago. I'm like, what is this? And I've kept like this t-shirt that I wore at this gig or like something that my first boyfriend gave me. You know, it's really... And I keep a lot of... if I like a part that I've played, I try and keep some of her clothes.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, you're allowed to do that as well.
Sometimes, if you get along with the costume designer, if it's not the most expensive, if it's not like the rent and stuff. But on the last part I played, I actually was not able to keep anything because it was a lot. It was in the 19th century, so it was a lot of like, but I wanted everything. I was like, it's amazing. I would wear all the corsets. But I couldn't. They didn't give it to me.
Maybe it's a gifting op.
I feel like a lot was rented or made, custom made, so they give it to museums and stuff like that.
Wow.
But I would have had to steal it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very nice.
But what's one piece in your wardrobe? I know you're very sentimental, but that you'd never lend, sell, or lose. What's that one thing that you're like, I can never get rid of this?
I feel like I have this incredible Dior fur. I know, I'm sorry, but I didn't buy it. Fur coat from my grandmother that's starting to fall apart because she used to keep them in sort of a colder area of her place, and then I'm not as organized. But I feel like when I wear it, I wear a whole era. You know, people don't dress like that anymore. You know, it's like this incredible fur coat. So I would never sell that because, first of all, I feel like I'm sort of getting a hug from her because I remember her in that coat so well. But also, it's an extremely glamorous coat, which is way too glamorous for my lifestyle. But I sometimes just, I wore it to go to Winter Wonderland, which was so not glamorous, but it was like, I was like, perfect.
That's so nice, though, the story behind it.
I know.
I'm feeling like she's with you. It's definitely special.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, obviously, you've worked in the public eye for years. With regards to your attitude towards it, whether it's cameras, campaigns, social media, or being in public, like, how have you changed? Like, are you more strategic? Like, are you like, oh, well, I'm, you know, going for this event or I'm going to wear this person? Like, do you plan it in a strategic way? Or as time's gone on, are you more like, this is me, take it or leave it?
As I said, I think I'm sort of, I care less. So if I like, you know, wear twice, maybe I won't, you know, do two red carpets with the exact same dress, but maybe if I sort of use a jacket and change the, you know, I probably before used to really sort of make sure that it was like a completely, everything was very different. And I think also in the world we live in today, it's sort of okay to wear your clothes. I mean, I wear them not on camera a few times, of course. I mean, I wear them regularly. But I think it's also okay to wear to have a picture with something that you've worn before today, because we have to be a bit more vigilant, you know. We can't just consume. So I think I'm a bit more chilled on this. And yeah, it's the same with hair and makeup, you know. I used to always kind of like have to have everything under control, hair and makeup. And now I'm sort of happy to just do my own makeup. And maybe not my hair, because I'm not very good at doing my hair. But yeah. But I love a look and prepping a look for something. You
yeah.
know? But I also think you have to like adapt. If it's the premiere of your movie, of course you're like, let's do something crazy and fun, you know? Mm-hmm. I really enjoy doing that because I think I like telling a story in general, you know? And I like hearing someone's story, as I said, you know, with clothes, with anything. But if I'm going to the premiere of a movie and I have nothing to do with the movie, I'm not going to wear the loudest thing. I'm just going to wear whatever. Then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Sort of like.
Interesting.
Yeah, really interesting. I mean, in terms of a myth about beauty or style that you might have believed early on, I mean, because you've been on set for a while and you've learned probably so many behind the scenes tricks and tips. Was there any myth that got busted where you were like, oh, my God, this is the one thing that I never knew I needed or I didn't?
I don't really know. I think it's more when you're on set, there's a few things. It's more like the behind the scenes. So if you're doing like a vampire movie, you see all the prosthetic that goes into it. And that's really fun to see, to be like, wow, this is how you make it so real. So it's more that, I think. It really depends on the director, because I've done period movies where the director doesn't really care about being so attached to what was the makeup at the time. And She's like, I just want you to look beautiful. So whatever makes you happy, you know, you're obviously not going to do like, you know, like a crazy eye, smoky eye if you're in the 19th century. But, you know, if you want to put a bit of like, do a bit, a little lip or whatever. And then there's other directors that are very, you know, want to be attached to the historical part of thing. And then you have zero makeup because at the time people didn't wear makeup. So it's sort of like, I realized that I guess you're part of a vision, really, and that it's not so much about like, sometimes you also have to accept that there are certain things that are not exactly of the time. And I think I used to be the annoying person that noticed everything in the movies. Like, that's weird, they wouldn't, you know, and then you realize a movie's someone's vision, someone's idea of something, someone's take on something. And so sort of go with the flow with that.
Mm. Speaking of that, you know, in that moment where you're like now able to kind of, I feel like the key takeaway so far that we've been discussing is you really know who you are. Like, I think that's something that really comes across.
And then you know
across.
Nothing. And then something does happen and you're like, ah. What would Josephine do? Because I don't even know who that person is. Well, I think I always think of someone else. I'm always like, what would Lauren Bacall do in this
That's
moment?
So funny. So you like disassociate for a second.
Yeah.
I love that.
I have to.
So in that case, what does beauty mean to you now?
I don't know. Once again, I feel like, you know, I've always been fascinated with growing up with sort of characters, you know, rather than really the idea of beauty, and the beauty is, you know, what you look like, or the beauty is inside, or blah, blah, blah. I think I'm a romantic and I fantasize things, you know, so I get more, even though I actually... I'm very excited by reality. So I like movies that are very much based on reality. I don't really watch Lord of the Rings, and I don't need to have a sort of escape fantasy to deal with reality. I like Desplechin's movies that are like very much about like, you know, a family, like in France or whatever. Like I think, or Lars von Trier, you know, who like Breaking the Wave is one of my favorite movies. It's like a really harsh reality, but it's not trying. It's obviously a mad story, but it's not trying to sort of fantasize something that isn't, you know. So I would say that the beauty, for me, I get excited about, again, a story and a character. So I used to like, be obsessed with Jenna Rowland, Woman Under the Influence, or like I used to love Almodovar characters, you know, because they were sort of like, it was everything. It was like their crazy makeup, the drama of their life, their crying and all the tears, they're covered in tears, like, you know. So I think the beauty, I think, is in obviously the personality of someone and like the force of someone. But the force of someone is not just the beauty within. It's also like how they present themselves and how they decide to live their life. And I think I'm very seduced by human beings, you know, in general. And I think the most unapologetic about how vulnerable you're ready to be, I think that's the real beauty, you know. And so I always liked quite intense woman character that was in a sort of crisis, you know. Like Catherine Deneuve in Repulsion, or like, I don't know, that's, I think there was a beauty in that sort of moment where you think you're in control and you lose complete control. So, yeah, I guess it sort of circles back to like the first movie I was talking about.
It always goes back to that. Yeah. We just wanted to ask you, are there any upcoming projects or collaborations that you're excited about?
Yeah, so I just made a movie that was the favorite part I ever played, which is about Chopin, the composer. Mm-hmm. And I play Georges Sand, who was my favorite writer as a teenager. And she was one of the first female writers in France in the 19th century. She dressed like a man, pretended to be a man in order to get her books published. And then she became huge and sort of paved the way for a lot of women in France. And she was Chopin's lover for 6 years. So I was very excited about that. I am very excited about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely had her share of drama in her life. And I really felt very close to her. I sort of didn't really want to let her depart, you know. And then I have just made another movie produced by Virginie Besson, directed by Leila. This is a lot of women.
Wow.
Which is a thriller based on a true story, sort of very intense true story.
Mm.
Sounds right up your alley, yeah, to be honest. Yeah. Well, before you go, we have three.
And I have a record. I just finished my record.
Oh my gosh, that's exciting. It's really exciting. Finally, new album.
It's because it's not fully finished. Still, it's getting mastered and stuff. So that's why I'm like, I can't, don't want to, but I still want to mention it because I'm excited about it.
Oh, we can't wait. Mm-hmm. Are you guys going to tour again soon?
Yes.
Can't wait. Exciting.
It's going to be a busy time.
Yeah.
Going to be a busy time. Mm. So before you go, we have three quick fire beauty questions we ask every guest.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Cool.
What's one beauty rule you love breaking?
I guess drinking water as soon as you wake up. I just drink coffee. With a very sugary oat milk, which is the worst thing you could possibly do when you wake up. You really should have like a hot water with a bit of lemon. So I guess I always very impressed when people do that, but I'm like, I just can't even function if I don't have a coffee.
Can relate. If you could give your younger self one piece of beauty advice, what would it be?
That whatever insecurity you're going through, it will 100% pass, and actually most probably you'll turn it into your biggest strengths later.
That's really beautiful. What's a beauty moment, good or bad, that you'll never forget but on yourself, that you would have thought, wow, or never again?
I guess I was quite shocked when I was asked to do the Agent Provocateur campaign. And then I did it 10 years later again, which was really fun because I guess I never really, as I said, like even when I see pictures of myself then, I was like, oh, it was very feminine and I guess curvy. And like they sort of support, you know, they sort of do campaigns with very, you know, with like very different kind of women, you know. It's not like just one idea of woman. So I like that with Agent Provocateur. But I was sort of shocked because I was like, in my mind, I'm really short, so I would never like do any modeling. And and also I like that we did a campaign that was like really quirky where I exercise, you know, and it was sort of like goofy, which is, no one is ever like va va voom perfect. When you're trying, often you end up falling down the stairs and like, you know what I mean? So I think it showed that. So I think that was like a really fun thing to do, and I was really shocked that I didn't see myself as someone that could be like in something that represented sort of a sexy campaign, you know? So I did it for fun, but I was sort of like, what?
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's amazing. So we have a final segment before we let you go where we will be reading your cards.
Great. I love that.
For you, chosen family.
Aww.
Little
connect with those you love.
Yes, and it's a bigger message. So I guess as the times are getting busier, don't forget to reconnect with people close to you.
I know, that's so nice.
Which is a little exciting message, but
that's lovely. My poor friends.
Yeah.
Like, hi. Yeah. Why are you calling me three times today? I've been told I have to, so.
But Josephine, thank you so much for sharing your authentic self with us and being so real.
Yeah, we really can't wait to see what you're doing next on screen, on stage, and maybe also possibly in that really good Dior coat. But thank you so much for getting ugly with us. We had a blast.
I had such a lovely day. It was really cozy. Thank you.
Thank you.